College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, if you have a hunting dog, whether it be a bird dog, a retriever, even beagles or deer hounds, which are rare these days, have you ever lost one of them? If you have, if they've been missing, you know the feeling, the panic and the concern about what happened to that dog. Well, Carl Beyer joins us now, and he experienced that this past duck season when his precious hunting buddy, Abby, was missing in the marsh for two nights, some freezing temperatures. Carl, good morning, and if you would, tell us the story of Abby, how she went missing and how she was found and what advice you might have to prevent it from happening in the first place. And if it does, how do you go about recovering your dog?
Hey, Don, how you doing this morning? First of all, I would love to thank everybody that came out and helped. We had thermal drones, everything out there, airboats. You know, everybody put in a heartfelt, the community that, you don't realize that is there is unbelievable. So that's, first of all, so I want to do that. But how she got lost is I got up in the morning. I'm in a wheelchair now, so I've got a lot of problems with arthritis, and it was one of those bad mornings. I went to get up and almost fell over. So I didn't want to get in the boat. So my friend David and Larry took the boat to go duck hunting. It was lower water. So he's David's run dogs all his life, just like me, and he's hunted with Abby. So I let him take the dog. And they had a great hunt. They shot a limited teal. They shot the last bird down. It just kind of angled off back of the boat. She saw it, splashed. Everything was great. They thought it was a dead duck. They sent her. And I think the biggest mistake, and we all kind of discussed it, is that the dog's going on that last bird. You know she's got it. And you start packing up all your stuff. So you're not watching and paying attention to what's happening with the dog. All of a sudden, next thing you know, you go, where's the dog? You know, they didn't come back with a duck. So either it was a cripple or, but you weren't paying attention. I think that's the biggest thing is to, make sure that last retrieve comes in. that's one of the things. If you were, watching the dog, you might have been able to, see that something was going on or hear what was going on. So I think that's probably the first and foremost is always pay attention to the dog until you know what's happening.
So what are the steps to go out and look for the dog once you discovered it's gone, it's missing, we have no idea where the dog is?
Yeah, this has happened to me before with my old dog, Danny, who's no longer with us, but it was a windy, high water day. She went out on that last retrieve. I did the same thing myself. And about 2 hours later, we found her. She was back on the side of a canal, but we searched everywhere. And it's just like that marsh is so difficult that, the dog can just disappear within a heartbeat. You can only access so much by boat. And, it's just one of those things. But I would say possibly stick it out before you go looking, stick it out, try and shoot your gun different directions, blow the whistle, that kind of thing. One of the things that was suggested also is, if you have a collar on a dog, e-collar or whatever it is, and the dog is missing somewhere, before you leave, maybe turn that e-collar all the way up and get that dog to yelp or bark. They'll yelp if you turn it up high enough, and then you can actually have maybe a location of where to look for the dog. That was something that we never did or never thought of. While everything's good and you're right there and still kind of in the box of where that dog might be, you can get a direction possibly to go look. I think that would be the best suggestion, to start it out with. But one of the mistakes I think I made was, I called, some people and all stuff that, and Larry and David were out there. They didn't want to tell me the dog was gone, so they were looking, and, an hour later, I'm calling them going like, hey, guys, you in trouble out there, what? And so they, finally told me. So I came out, and we started looking. But so I was, while they were inside the island, I was kind of circling the island with my other boat. And I think one of the things is I never stopped enough. I was looking for the dog, convinced she'd be out on a shoreline somewhere. But she was she seemed to find a dry spot interior from, you know, what the end was. So I never stopped enough to, like, go, okay, go a certain distance and then stop and listen. You know, maybe try and do some calling or whistling or shoot the gun, you know, whatever you need to do. Also, I think one of the things, and we've had this happen in the woods, shoot the gun away from the island or away from where you think the dog might be in. Sometimes if you shoot it directly at him, there's like an echo effect or something. When we found a dog, we had that she moved away from us versus coming back towards us. I don't understand what exactly goes on, but we've had that happen in the woods before. And, you know, the other thing is we had people out there looking, and my friend Corey, he was, you know, up walking around there, and he thought he heard a faint bark, and he did not want to, you know, put my hopes up because he didn't know if it was there or not either. But that's one of the things is don't ever give up. You know, it went through the freeze, everything else.
Yeah, it was in the temperature was in the teens, and it wasn't looking good. Carl, we got to take a break here. Stay with me. When we come back, I want you to finish up the story of how Abby, I'm calling her Danny. I've heard it with
you. No problem.
We'll find out how she was finally rejoined with you. We're talking with Carl Beyer about losing dogs, how to prevent it. We'll be right back to continue that conversation. Has it ever happened to you? 504-260-1870. Text me your story. We'll be back right after this. All right, if you're just now joining us, we're talking with Carl Beyer. If you haven't heard the story, Carl, unfortunately, his dog Abby, his black lab retriever, got lost in the Lake Catherine area. A couple of hunting buddies who were familiar with working with the dog took her out, had a great hunt going on, and on the last retrieve, Abby disappears. And from there, the search begins. People start going out looking. We had a mutual friend and dog lover who offered a $2,000 cash reward for the return of Danny. The whole community was concerned. People were out in boats looking from the air, looking from the sea, going out in the marsh. Carl spent days out there looking for Abby. Everyone was concerned. It was scary because the temperatures dropped down into the teens those nights. Carl, pick it up from there and tell us the happy ending to the story of how Abby was recovered.
Well, we, you know, just on the off chance, we went out one more time, and Mike, who was running the thermal drone, came out with us, and a friend and a mutual mutual friend, Jared, he was out there looking around also in between hunting, and when we went out there, he came over to us, and he said, man, I keep hearing a dog barking somewhere, so we were trying to locate her, and so we came back around to try and run the drone over that area. And look, and I heard a dog bark, and now I got a location. So that evening, we you know, figured out where she was, and we tried to get her come back, and it seemed like she, you know, got away. It got completely pitch black. You know, it just didn't happen that night. So went back home. Nobody else was available the next morning. So I put my gear on, wheeled the wheelchair onto the boat, and went out there the next morning. It was miserable, spitting rain, ugly, windy, and all that junk. So I tried one spot where I thought she went to, no response. And I came around the corner and stopped the boat, and I heard a bark in there, and proceeded to, like I said, tried to shoot the shotgun downwind and whistle crosswind or whatever. And the barking got louder, so I pushed the boat all the way up into the mud to the edge of the shore, and this little black face pops out, you know, one of those big mud flats pops out of the grass, and that was about the happiest moment you could have. So,
what do you think was happier? Were you or she happier, both of you?
I don't know. We were both pretty pretty excited to be back in, you know, connection there. Big old, fortunately, I didn't fall off the front of the boat, but I helped her up onto the boat, and we had a big old wet, muddy reunion, so life was good again. So took her into the vet. Everything was absolutely fine, just a little bit of wet foot dermatitis, you know, no problems whatsoever, no frostbite, no anything. She only lost a pound or two, and so just rehydrated her and refed her slowly throughout the day, you know, according to the vet and what I knew anyways. And, you know, just she was happy as a clam. So, the other thing I did now is I've got a GPS collar, and I researched a lot of that stuff. A lot of these little GPS tracker things or whatever, most of them only last like 20 hours, as well as the collar. But the collar, I have just a handheld, has a little screen on it. It's a pretty simple one, just direction of the dog, how far. and I'm starting to train with that, with the tone as a comeback, and it's working around the yard here. She tends to wander a little bit over to the neighbors and that kind of stuff, so I've been bumping her back with that, and she's happy to come back. So just trying to, you know, work on some different responses so you can keep track of the dog. But that'll be great for hunting. But those things only last like 20 hours usually, the collar and all that stuff. But at least you're going to know where the dog is and what's happening at this point, which is
yeah, you may not need it for full 20 hours because you basically know where the dog is. And I've got one of those for my dog. Now, somebody, Jeff just texted me, and he said something about putting an Apple tag on the collar. They're trackable by your phone. I don't know what the range on those things. I'm not familiar with those things. Are you?
Yeah, they've got several of them. I think there's Track Dog and that kind of stuff. Some of them last, I was going to say that, some of them last 20 days. So you could actually put one of those on also. Problem is, do you have phone signal out there? And is it, you know, there's some spots that are not so good with it and everything. So that's one of the concerns I had with that. And, you know, and they have all kinds of different options. You know, like you could get one of those ones where you box in an area around your hunt and the dog gets that beep or that buzz or whatever to come back in from there or something like that. But, you know, do you have access to a phone in all the places you go and all that stuff like that? You know, so that was one of the concerns with that. But I'm just trying to keep it simple, and hopefully this never happens again. But in 50 years of hunting dogs now, and you know what I've done. I've been all over the country and everything. We've lost them for an hour or two somewhere, either woodcock or this or that or whatever. But, boy, 3 days is not not fun at all. So
I understand. I understand. Well, thanks. It was a happy ending, and we're all thankful for that. And again, you know, one of the things we didn't talk about is maybe leaving something with your scent. Dogs are very scent conscious.
Oh, yes. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot that. I took her, you know, her whatever you call it, the pad that it sits in the back of the truck, so it's, you know, definitely smells like dog. I put that out there with fresh water, food, everything. That never got touched. So it was just not in the right position for her to either smell it or whatever. But, you know, we just couldn't access, you know, exactly where we would try to put it back where, you know, basically where we hunted with the blind. But it just, you know, it was not
No matter how well trained, dogs will be dogs sometimes. And I'm glad it was a happy ending. And thanks for sharing that experience with us, Carl. Maybe it'll help it from happening to someone else. Really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
And once again, I want to thank everybody. And what a great community out there. Just unbelievable. So if I probably flopped over the boat, they just go, you know. But, you know, dogs.
All right. Thanks, Carl.